I want to introduce the speaker of tonight, and this speaker is an amazing man of God. He is my fiancé. Yeah. Not only is he very good looking in purple, he's also just always bringing the word of the Lord. And the great thing is for me is I always get a preview of his messages, a lot of the preview. And even afterwards, like tonight, I always learn more. So engage your hearts, engage your minds, because whatever he speaks is directly from the Lord. I can vouch for that. So anyways, Gabriel Webb, here he is.
I'll preach it, man. Awesome. How you guys doing? I'm so thankful for just that opportunity we had just to sit in God's presence for a little bit at the end of worship. Wasn't that good? Just to listen. Man, I'm just still receiving from the Lord. It's really good. I just would like to just go back to that place. But we're going to get into our words. Amen? How many of you guys are excited tonight about the word? Good. Sweet. Well, I'm going to talk to you for about an hour and a half, so just kind of sit there. Yeah. All right, go ahead and go open your Bibles to the book of Mark. I got this crazy, I wanted to use the lapel. You guys know what a lapel is, right? It kind of clicks onto you. It clicks onto your lapel. But I couldn't use the lapel because it just doesn't work on a t-shirt. So I have to use this thing, and I like mics, but sometimes I tend to throw them. So if you're in the front row, or even I can throw far. So just don't look down. Don't look at your neighbor. Just be ready, because I might. You never know. Mark 1. Yeah, Mark 1. So just be alert. Be on guard. Yeah, you never know what's going to happen here at Generation Ministries. So we're in the book of Mark, chapter 1. I had a really hard time trying to find out what the title of this message was. And I finally, after much discussion with about half of you, I decided to call it this. So if you're taking notes, it's called The Great Invitation. The Greatest Invitation. If you got a pen and paper, I'd encourage you to take notes tonight. It's going to be good. I'm excited. I don't want to yell at you. I just want to talk about the Bible tonight and what God put on my heart. Amen. Amen. I'm reading from the Amplified. This is not my Bible, but I'm using it tonight. I just love the Amplified version of the Bible. It really breaks down the original Hebrew and the Greek of what was being said in that time. And it really makes it practical for us to understand. And it really defines each word for us to better understand what was really being said, so there's no confusion in words. So I'm going to read from the Amplified. Your version says something quite a bit different. And this is what it says. We're in verse 14 of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. It says, "Now after John was arrested and put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news, or the gospel, of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The appointed period of time is fulfilled or completed, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent.'" And this is what it says the word repent means. It says, "Have a change of mind which issues in regret for past sins, and in change of the conduct for the better." Okay, so that's what repenting is. It says, "And believe." Believe means to trust in, rely on, and adhere to the gospel. Verse 16. "And passing along the shore, passing along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon," or Peter, "and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net to and fro in the sea, for they were fishermen." How many of us are living a life of just to and fro? We're just kind of, you put that phone on silent, that's good, man. But you know what I mean? You're just kind of to and fro in life. You don't really have a purpose. You were just there. How many lived there before? I'll be the first to say I lived in that place of just to and fro. And God came and he spoke to me just like this, actually. "They were casting their nets to and fro. Verse 17, and Jesus said to them, 'Come after me and be my disciples, and I will make you,'" come on, somebody say, "make you,' "to become fishers of men. And at once they left their nets, and yielding up all claim to them, followed with him, joining him as disciples and siding with his party." I love that. Let me read that again. Verse 18, It says, at once they left their nets, and yielding up all claim to themselves, they followed him. They followed with him, joining him as disciples and siding with his party. He went on a little further and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat putting their nets in order. And immediately he called out to them, and abandoning all mutual claims, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went off after him. Wow. To be his disciples, side with his party, and follow him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, in these very few moments that we have, I ask that you would just, God, that you would speak. That you would speak to each person here tonight. God, that you'd soften hearts, anoint each ear and heart to receive your word. God, I'm asking that your rhema, your living and active word would come and speak. Come and speak tonight. Reveal yourself to us. Change us. Mold us. Like we were singing, Lord, reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I believe that the greatest invitation was given about 2,000 years ago. But it's given every day to each person. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You guys know what that means? Okay, how many are awake tonight? I'm just getting there. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, it says that the veil was torn from top to bottom. Right? The veil was torn. Now, what was the veil? The veil was something that separated us from the most holy place. Right? Right? I don't want to go into too much detail, but the idea was that there was a separation from us and the Lord. Okay? You there with me? The Bible says that when Jesus died and gave up his spirit, the Bible says that the veil, what separated us from him, was torn from top to bottom. I was reading that one day, and the Lord said, this was the greatest invitation. The greatest invitation was that we would step into that presence, that intimate place, that fellowship with the Lord. Is this making sense? The greatest invitation. God invites us. Some of us, when we pray, we ask the Lord to come. But you got to understand that you're the one that has to come. He's already invited. Look, when I pray, I don't ask God to come. He's already here. It's my job to step into what he's already offered. It's an invitation to come to where he's at. Does that make sense? So when I go to my prayer time, I don't say, Lord, come and meet me, and I wait for a feeling. I just step into his presence because it's already given to me. It's already mine. Amen? It's the greatest invitation. But there's a two parts of this invitation. This invitation isn't just come and be a good guy and get your pen on your letterman's jacket that you're a Christian. Just come on in to GM on Thursday nights and say that you're a Christian, and then just go off and do your own deal. And when you graduate from high school, you say that you were a Christian, and you got your pen that says, I was a Christian, and I attended GM every Thursday night for 2 years. Christianity is much more than that. In the early church, the Bible says that they were called the people of the way, that they lived such a life that was who they were, that they were people who lived of a specific way, that they didn't just attend church, they didn't just attend their youth group, they didn't just attend their small group every once in a while, but they became something and they were a people of a specific way. That makes sense? So it's not just this invitation that we just kind of come into his presence every once in a while, we just come to GM on a Thursday night. It's an invitation of a life with him. I heard it said today that it's an invitation, well, they didn't say this, but they were saying that we would live a missionary. What was it, Brady? A missionary lifestyle. That our life is a life of missionary. Is this making sense? So in other words, we step into God's presence. I'm making it very practical. We come to him by repentance and forgiveness. We come to him, right? And that from that, we take that to the world. Every believer has this invitation to not only get saved. Every person has an invitation not only to get saved, but to take what they have received and go and give it. Matthew 10, Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give, right? There is this invitation, like Jesus says in Mark 1, 14, and in many other times, also in Mark, or also in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35, and also in many other parts of the Bible, in the Bible book of Matthew 4, it talks about how he brought people into him. But every time he said, follow me. And Jesus says, this was the greatest invitation, that you would come into my presence but you would walk with me in bringing others to me. Is this making sense? It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the person who's leading worship. It's not just for the evangelist. Look, the evangelist's job, his job is to equip every one of us to do evangelism. Does that make sense? So we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to go into the world. The Bible says in John 17, verse 18, Jesus is praying for us, for all of us. It's awesome. And it says that, just as you sent me, he's praying to his Father, just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You catching where I'm at? This is this invitation where God's saying, hey, come into my presence. And when we come into his presence, he sends us into the world. Amen? You with me? Good. I'm excited. That's just a little bit of an introduction. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to shed some more light on this idea. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. Because we are of the opinion and the conviction that if one died for all, then all died. Now listen now. And he died for all so that all those who live might live for themselves. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. Let me read it again. That all those who live might live for their personal benefit. No, it doesn't say that either. Hold on a second. So that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. We were called to be a Christian not for ourselves, but for him. We were called into his presence to be with him and to be for him, not for ourselves. Amen. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view. We don't look at anybody from a human perspective anymore, he's saying, in terms of natural standards or value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, in other words, if anybody is a Christian, if anybody is following the Lord, repented of their sins, and gotten right, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. The word reconciled means to bring together, bring back to something. Received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. This word reconciliation is that by word and deed we might aim to bring others, you hearing me? That we might, by word and deed, by our words and by our action, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. You hearing me? It's saying that God gave us this invitation to come into his presence and to be reconciled or to be brought together with him, to be in a right relationship with him. Okay? But from that, we take that spirit, we take that reconciliation spirit that God brought us to him, and our job is by our words and by our actions to go and bring others to him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and upholding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation or the restoration of the people to the Father. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of, you guys hear that? That we would be endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God. What we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. There is this idea that a Christian, and what Paul is trying to communicate here, is that a Christian is to be active, not passive. There's differences between being active, passive, being on the defense, and being on the offense. Christianity is not being on the defense. Look, we're not fighting against the world. We're on the offense. We're sent into the world. Are you hearing me? You're with me. There's a difference between a spectator and a participator. We're not on the sidelines watching the game. We're in the game making things happen. Okay, this is the life of a Christian. A lifestyle of being a missionary. A missionary lifestyle. Our job, this calling, is to be partners with Him in the redemption of a lost world. That makes sense. Our job as Christians is to be sent into the world with this spirit that we've received, to be reconciled back to the Father, to be back in a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. We take that spirit and we go to the world and we bring that good news to them. Amen? Come on, that's just the beginning. But there's one way to answer that call. So let me say one way. Not another. One way. One way. Have you ever seen those signs that say one way? One way street. How many of you guys see people going the opposite way? And you're like, what the heck is he doing? You know what I mean? It's like a cop. You're like, don't you like have to like take tests on this? I've seen that before. I'm not kidding. But there's one way. There's one way to answer this call of following Christ. As we just read in Mark 1:14, Jesus says what? What does Jesus say? Come and follow me, right? There's one way to answer that. Now, you can answer it however you want to answer it, but there's only one way to actually come to that invitation, to actually respond in favor with that invitation. And that one way is separation. Somebody say separation. Separation. For you to simply step out of something, or for you to simply start to follow something, you have to stop following something else. Does that make sense? For you to start following, or to become part of, or to cling with something else, you have to separate yourself from something else. Does that make sense? There's only one way to becoming a fisher of men. Jesus says, you come follow me and be fishers of men. That's our job. And how many want to know how to get there? How many want to know how to be a fisher? How many want to know how to obtain and to become who you're called and supposed to be? Now, all of us have specific in our own specific callings, but each of us, all together, the body of Christ, is called to be missionaries into a dying world. But before you can ever be sent into, before you can ever be sent into this world, you have to be separated from the world. Does that make sense? Look, you can't be sent into something that you're already in. It doesn't make sense. But first, God has to take us out. How many know that in the book of Exodus, Moses was already out for God to send him in? That when he took Abraham, he called him out and to leave his country, right? Right? My goodness, we got a bunch of like this, and what's he trying to say? Okay, I'm not going to yell. I'm just going to talk. Saving my voice for my kids someday. I'm going to yell at them. But in Mark 1:15, there is this idea of being separated. Jesus says, I kind of just read it a minute ago. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, this Bible is ridiculous. Okay, here we go. Can you guys believe this thing? It's humongous. It says that he's preaching this gospel of repentance. And this is what repentance, this is what separation is. It's the appointed period of time. He's talking about what it is. It says, repent. It says, have a change of mind which issues in regret for past sins. You change your mind because you have regret for what you've done in the past. And a change of conduct for the better. Look, you're not a Christian if you just say, well, Jesus, I got you in my heart and I can go live however I want to live. I'm sorry, that's not Christianity. That's another gospel. But the gospel that we preach and the gospel from the Bible is that you repent of your sins and you live a different life. Amen? Good. Thought I was getting quiet in here. So look, when you start to follow Jesus, there is this repentance and there is this turning from this old way. In Mark, we just read it. Jesus said to them, come after me and be my disciples, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The first part of this separation, there is a two-part separation that must take place for us to even become a fisher of men. A two-part separation. The first part is you got to leave your nets. Now, we got to understand what the nets were. The nets represented their very lifestyle, who they were. When you grew up in the Jewish tradition, and when you grew up in their lifestyle, if you did not become a rabbi or a teacher, or become a Pharisee or a scribe, you would go to your father's business, and it became who you were. When you walked down the streets, they called you, he's a fisherman. He fishes on the Sea of Galilee. And you smell like it, you look like it, you talk like it, you act like it, you played with your nets. I mean, that's just who you were. And so when Jesus says, come follow me, the first part of separation that the disciples understood, because they knew what he was preaching. They knew this. They knew what he was saying in Mark 1:15, that you must repent, that you must turn from your old ways, that you must repent of it and get right and start following after him. And so when he said, follow me, it meant something to them. It wasn't just this idea of I can continue to do what I was doing and continue to be who I was and still follow him. But no, it was this idea that you were to be separated from, to drop your nets and to follow after him. I want to talk about this idea of dropping our nets. I think that there's three points to this. The Lord was speaking to me about this week, that there's three points to dropping our nets. The first one is you have to leave yourself. You have to leave yourself. In Matthew, if you're taking notes, Matthew 16:24-26. I'm going to read it real quick. I'm going to try and find it first, so pray for me. Matthew 16:24-26. This is the cost of discipleship. This is the cost of following Jesus. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, or disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests. Got quiet. Disregard the lose sight of and forget himself and his own interests and take up his cross and follow me. There's the word cleave. My goodness. And cleave steadfastly to me. Hallelujah. Conform wholly to my example. I told some of you, lying in church. I can't believe it. Telling me that cleave was like a knife and a sword. You guys, I got deceived, James. They deceived me. You tried telling me. I know. I just... Are you with me? Take up his cross and follow me. Cleave. The idea of being following somebody is to cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly. Come on. He conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here on earth, if you're bent on saving your security and your lifestyle and who you are and your identity of how your classmates see you and how they perceive you, if you're bent on that, this is what he says. If you're bent on this, you will lose it. You will lose your life. You will lose your eternal life. But he goes on. And whoever loses his life or his comfort, his security here, whoever forgets and leaves himself, his personal identity of what his classmates and his friends and his families and his boyfriend or his girlfriend, if you're bent over that, if you're caught on that mentality, if you lose that, if you give that up, you will find life. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? We have to come to this place where it's not about us. The first part of separation from the world. See, the world lives in such a way that it's all about them. Look, everybody thinks about themselves. It's not hard. That's easy. So the first part, I don't have much time. So look, a lot of this, there's a lot more in here, but I'm going to try and go as quick as I can because in your MyPods this week, we're going to be talking about this and digging into it. So I'm just going to kind of open it up, and then you're going to dig into it. And I got a lot more scriptures and things to get into. So the first part is leaving or separating from yourself, your personal identity, and your fear of what other people think about you. You with me? The next part is leaving your past. Leaving your past. You have to get over the fact of what you've ever done. Following Jesus isn't a confidence in yourself of what you've done in the past. Following Jesus is what he's done on the cross. Your confidence, your courage, and your boldness, it doesn't come from who you were in the past. If that was it, I'd be in a hole somewhere. Because I don't have confidence in my past. I have confidence in what Jesus did on the cross and what he paid for. He paid for my personal sin that I could have confidence and boldness and live for him. You got to get over your past. You have to understand that in Romans 8, 29 and 30, the Bible says that Jesus justified you. What that means is that he made you right with him. So don't excuse yourself because of your past. Well, Gabriel, you know, that's a lot of good things. I'm called to be sent, but you don't understand. See, I've done all these things. Gabriel, okay, maybe before I was, but even when I've been saved, I've still done these things. Look, if your confidence and your courage and your boldness comes from your past, look, if your boldness even comes from you had a high experience one time at a camp, that's not the right confidence. You hearing me? The right confidence comes from simply that Jesus paid for your sin so that you are right with the Father. That is where your confidence and your boldness comes from. Not because you got a gift of tongues, not because you got a gift to preach, not because you did all these good things in the past. Get over your past. It's not about what you've done, who you were, what you used to do, how some of us get so caught up in what we used to do. Man, do you guys remember that camp 3 years ago? That was so... Look, there are so many more good things God has for us in the future. We got to get caught up on the past and start getting caught up on now and today and what God's going to do in Anchorage tomorrow. Amen? So look, the second part is getting over your past, whether it was good or bad. That's not where your confidence can come from. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That's the second part. The third part, if you're taking notes, is you got to leave the world. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, "Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles the body and the spirit, and bring our consecration..." But to make it an easier word, our separation, bring our separation to completeness in the reverential fear of God. Look, first you got to do what? You got to lose yourself. Say, lose yourself. Say, I got to lose myself. Say it. Say with an attitude. You guys got to be kidding me. That was weird. Say, I got to lose myself. Okay. Then you got to forget your past. You got to forget your past. But the last thing is that you have to have the fear of God. The fear of God. And this kind of relates to the first part, which is what you lose yourself. But I want to talk about this idea of leaving the world, being separated from the world. Separated from the world in your act, in your conduct, the way you talk, the way you walk, how you hold yourself, how you carry yourself. That this is an actual real deal. That you're not just, well, you know, brother, in the spirit, I'm separated. No. You are actually separate. That when your friend starts gossiping, you don't get into that and start gossiping with them. It got quiet again. When your friend starts going off and swearing, you don't just go, well, brother, I'm going to swear too, you know. I don't care if they're discipling you. If your friend starts watching some rated R pornographic movie, you don't, well, you know, I gotta love them. I gotta be like the world so I can, that's a lie from the devil. Look, you don't gotta be like the world to minister to the world. That's wrong. We gotta be like Christ to minister to a lost and dying world. Look, you can't call your friend, you can't call somebody who's lost in a dying world to you if you ain't even out of what they're in. Some of us are trying to go into the world. We need to get the world out of us. We need to get in that place where we separate ourselves from the world. But it goes further than just, well, I'm separated from the world. You have a fear of God. A real fear of God. That I'm not going to watch this movie because I fear the Lord. You with me? I'm not going to do this because I fear the Lord. I'm going to be separated from myself, from my past, and from the world. That is the three simple, as practical as I can get it, for you to understand that there is a separation that must take place before you can ever become a fisher of men. You, look, you can't go fishing for the fish if you're a fish. You hearing me? You're like, what? Did he just? You can't, you can't deliver somebody if you ain't delivered. You with me? Look, if Moses ever get delivered, he couldn't go into the promise or to Egypt and take him out. The reason why he was able to go in is because he was already out. Before Jesus ever began his ministry, the Bible said that the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be separated. It doesn't say that, but to be separated from the world, to be set aside. You with me? Good. John 17. We're going back to John 17, verse 15. How many of you guys are getting some revelation right now? How many of you guys are getting blessed? This is Jesus praying, and we already read part of it. He says, I do not ask, this is verse 15, that you take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, or the worldly, belonging to the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, or purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify, I dedicate, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. Now that for these only do I pray, it is not for their sakes only that I make this request, but also for all those, say all those, who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, or rely on me through the word and teaching. There's one way to be sent into, and it's through separation. We just read it. The same way that you sent me into the world, what does he say? I send them into the world. How did the Father separate, or how did the Father send Jesus into the world? He set him apart. He had to be set apart from the world. It says earlier that Jesus says the same thing. He says that my Father set me apart. He called me out of the world, to be sent into the world. For us to be separated into, we have to be separated from. Amen? Amen. Open your Bibles to Genesis 1. I'm going to try and close here as quick as I can. Genesis 1:1. Come on, in the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and empty, waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, suitable, pleasant, and he approved it, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. The first thing I recognize about God is that God likes a difference. I was sitting there one time. Actually, I was sitting right here one time, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, Gabriel, look, before you can ever go into, you have to be set out. And this is pretty much what I'm telling you. But then he goes a little bit further, and he said, I want to know the difference. Let me ask you a question. When you ask yourself this right now, this is just you and you and the Lord. You and the Lord. For a minute, we'll stop talking to somebody and we'll just listen. And listen to the Lord. When you think about yourself, and I want you to compare and to look at yourself compared to the world, and I want to ask yourself, what's the difference? What's the difference? Is there a difference? Because if there's not a difference, you can't call them to the difference. If you're not different from them, how are you going to call them to the difference? Well, that's just judging. It isn't judging. This is getting over yourself, over your past, and over the fear of man to be separated from the world and to the Father. What's the difference? God is concerned about the difference. He's concerned about the difference between a sheep and a goat, between a wheat and the tare, between the evil and the righteous, between the believers and the unbelievers. God is concerned about you being different. He didn't call you to be the same as the world. He called you out of, to be set apart, to be separated from them so that you can be sent into them with love and grace. He took the light and he separated it from the darkness. You can't be a light if you're still in the darkness. I mean, I'm being as simple as I can. And in this week and this next week, we're going to be very practical in our MyPods, talking about how to be separated. The second part to separating is you have to be separated to the Lord for the work of the ministry. Hey, Jordan, can I get you to come up here and play the piano for a minute? Exodus 28:41. God tells Moses, "You shall anoint them and ordain and sanctify them, set them apart for God, that they may serve me as priests." You with me? How many listen to me? God wants to set you apart so that he can serve, so he can anoint you to serve you as priests, so you can serve as priests. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, called to be an apostle, a special messenger set apart to preach the gospel of and from God. He's called and he's set apart to preach the gospel. 1 Peter 2. So be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, and all deceit and insincerity, pretense, hypocrisy, and grudges, envy, or jealousy. Some of us got to get over our jealousy. Get over that idea that I need to be, I'm jealous of somebody else, or that I'm upset with somebody else. Forgive that person. Release that person. Be separate from the world in these things. Not hypocrite. You don't have grudges. You don't hold grudges. You don't slander. And you don't speak evilly of anybody, of any kind. Like newborn babies. He goes on to talk about craving spiritual milk. Come to him. Come to the living stone, which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come and, like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. For thus it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen, honored, precious, chief cornerstone. It goes on and on and on. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may be set forth that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people. You weren't a people at all. But now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. Beloved, I implore you, as aliens and strangers, and exiles in this world, to abstain from sensual urges, the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves properly, honorably, righteously among the Gentiles, so that although they may slander you as evildoers, yet they may be witnessing your good deeds. Come to glorify God on the day of inspection, when God shall look upon you wanderers as a pastor or shepherd looks over his flock. You're never going to be who you're called to be if you don't separate from who you are. From the way you act, the way you talk, the way you think, gossip, slander, you're frustrated. Some of you ask me, Gabriel, I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to preach. I'm called to minister to my high school, to my junior high, to my family, to my friend across the street. But how do I practically do it? The first step is to get separated. And that doesn't mean that when they start sinning, you go, oh, you guys are sinners. But that you and I have to get in this place where we, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, I want to say something, because I don't want you guys to think that if you don't separate yourself, if you're not perfect, God won't receive you. In 2 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read one more thing, and then we're going to wrap it up. I'm sorry. I have to read this scripture. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, it says, verse 15, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in and among them, and will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So come out from among unbelievers. Separate, sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Some of you keep this idea in your mind that God receives me where I am. He does. But you cannot follow Him if you don't separate yourself. When you decide, I'm not living for myself, and you decide to separate yourself from the Lord, He receives you. And that's when the disciples start to follow Him. In Luke 15, there was this guy, prodigal son. And the beginning of it, and this is to summarize the whole message. The first thing the son said to his father is he said, Father, give me. Give me my portion from yourself. Give me what is mine. You with me? At the very end, he says, I'm going to go back to my father, because he goes away and he lives this horrible life. And then the Bible says he comes to himself. He realizes who he is in the Father. And he says, I'm going to go back to my father and say, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. To be called your son. And he says this amazing thing. He says, Father, make me. Make me. Look, there is this idea that our ministry, and there is this concept, and there is this attitude of discipleship that this ministry and that everyone in here must have for us to ever become who God's called us to be. And it is an attitude of being separated from the world and cleaving to the Lord. And in that cleaving, He makes you. Look, if you're not willing to be made, if you're not willing to come, because when Jesus says, follow me, when you follow Him, He's going to make you something different. It's not going to feel good. You're the potter, He's the clay. Sorry, you're the clay, He's the potter. And it doesn't feel good to be molded or shaped into something. It doesn't feel good. But for you to ever even come close to or to think of following Jesus, some of you say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Well, I want you to ask yourself tonight, what's the difference? Where are you? And if you want to really follow the Lord, if you want to really, because I'm talking about being a church and being a ministry where we are set aside wholly to the Lord. Because how many of you guys want to see anchors turn around for the Lord? We have to be sent into, but you can't be sent into if you're not separated from. What's the difference? Can we have every head bowed and every eye closed? Every eye closed. Just you and the Lord. I believe that God tonight wants to reveal things to you that you need to be separated from. We're most like the world when we talk like the world and we think like the world and we act like the world. God wants to separate us. He wants to see a generation come to Him. And He wants to use us. It's the greatest invitation. It's an honor and a privilege that God would use us, mere clay, orphans. But He calls us, and I want to paint a picture. He calls us to His kingdom. He calls us to His presence. He calls us into Him. For you to follow Him, you got to take a step away from your lifestyle. You got to take a step away from the fear of man. And worrying about what people are going to think of you. Worrying about your identity. Take a step away from that and step into His presence, step into His kingdom, step into His love. And I want to encourage you to come with the attitude of, Father, make me a fisher of men. You come with this attitude, He'll receive you. He'll receive you. In your heart, there has to be this attitude. Lord, make me, change me, mold me, shape me, transform me. We don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect for you to come to the Father. You just have to realize, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I need Him to change me, to make me like Him. Conform to His image. Conform to His likeness. When you come with that attitude, just you and the Father, when you come with that attitude to Him, some of us are excusing ourselves. Some of us are saying, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not tall enough. Don't justify yourself. Don't qualify yourself by other people. God gave me a specific word for you, and there's some people that really need to hear this, and I hope all of you do. But God wants to tell you that He qualifies you. He qualifies you. Stop trying to get qualified and justified by the world. Your quality to Him. You're worth using. You're able. He wants to use you. Not just to be a spectator. Not just to be on defense, be on offense, to be active, not just passive, but to be on the offense, making a difference in your family, in your school, in this generation today. You only live once, and this one time, God wants you to be separated from this world because He wants to send you into it. And as you come to Him, there is a voice that calls out and says that I qualify you. You can't be qualified. You can't be able unless you come to Him. Unless you separate yourself from the world. Tonight the Lord wants to come with fire to separate you from yourself. I'm not going to do a huge altar call. I just want every eye closed and all the heads bowed. And there's some of us in here tonight who just know there's things that they need to get separated from. I don't care how big it is. Gabriel, you call me to do this huge thing to save the whole world. Well, I'm dealing with this every night. I don't even read my Bible. I yell at my mom all the time. You don't understand. My parents split up. Things are getting tough. My little brother, my little sister, I can't handle it. I don't know what to do. I'm getting frustrated. How do I be a light? There's all these practical and these things that are in your head that you're thinking that you can't do it and you're not going to be able to do it, and you excuse yourself and you tell yourself you can't do it, and you try and tell us and you try and tell the Lord that you can't do it and you can't minister. Don't excuse yourself. Realize that if you just separate yourself from those things and you just come to Him with this attitude of, Lord, you gotta make me. You gotta change me. You gotta make me into that person of influence, that person who's calling the unbelievers to become believers, to be a light to a dead and dying world. If that's you tonight, or you know, right now, I'm not talking about, well, just, you know, I kind of feel like the Lord. No. If there are things in your life that have been revealed to you that you need to be separated from, I want you to slip up your hand. I see your hands. You can put them down. He wants to separate us for His love. He wants to separate us so he can send us into. I want everybody, we're going to pray. Just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. We're going to pray a prayer. And I want everybody to pray with me. You're just going to repeat after me. We're going to pray a simple prayer. You ready? Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for challenging me. God, tonight, I repent for this thing. Just tell him what it is. In your heart, in your mouth, just tell him what it is. Heavenly Father. Come on, Heavenly Father. Thank you that you forgive me. I accept your forgiveness. I receive your mercy and your grace. Heal my heart. Change me. Make me. Help me to overcome that. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. I am yours. I am yours to be molded. Make me a fisher of men. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to have a time of worship and just getting one-on-one with the Lord. I want to bring this one idea before we close, and you're free to go. But we're going to worship a couple songs. But I want to bring this one idea, right, real quick, is that our MyPods are a place where you can come together and be encouraged and built up in the faith. Look, I don't care what it is you're struggling with. Get with one of our leaders, one of our MyPod leaders, and say, hey, I need to be different. I need to be changed. I'm dealing with this. And confess it to them. The Bible says if you confess to your mouth your trespasses, God will heal you. Be open and transparent with these things. Not so that they can go, well, I know what you're dealing with, brother. But that we can go, no, I love you. It's all right. We all make a mistake. Let's repent and move on. But these MyPods are a place where you can get plugged in and be made different and be discipled. Look, if you in here are saying tonight, for the first time, I am going to be made into a disciple of Jesus Christ, be made into a fisherman, then I encourage you. God put leaders and authority over you to disciple you and to make you. Some of you, well, I'm going to be discipled by the Lord. He's just going to disciple me. No, that's good, but you need to get with somebody and say, hey, I want you to make me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's all have that attitude of, Lord, make me. Amen. Tonight, we're just going to go with the Lord. And if there's things that you realize that are just, you know, that you need to be separated from, I just want to encourage you, every one of us, to get one-on-one with the Lord. If you got to go, you got to go, that's fine. But get one-on-one with the Lord, spend time with the Lord, and just, I want to encourage you to confess your sins to Him. Confess those things to Him. Repent of those things and say, Lord, I want to be made. And then get plugged into one of our MyPods. Get plugged into one of those places of discipleship where you can be made and discipled and become a fisher of men so that we can change this whole city of Anchorage. Amen. Look, I love that there's a lot of people here and that God's growing this ministry, but I'm not satisfied until this whole place is full, until we have to move again. God's not satisfied either. There's thousands of young people that are in this city that are dying and going to hell. And God's called us to be their rescuers. But we need to be made. And so our MyPods, this is a plug for our MyPods, that you would get into one. Find out where they are and when they are. And get into one and be made, be transformed. Amen? How many received the word tonight? It's simple, but let's be separate. Amen? Let's worship. Jordan, you want to lead us? And the worship team, if you guys wanted to come back up, you can. If you don't, that's fine. But we're just going to get with the Lord. If you got to go, you're free to go. But we're just going to spend some time with the Lord, each of us, and allow God to point things out in our lives that we need to be separated from. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, tonight we love you. We bless your holy name, God. We thank you. Just thank him for speaking to you tonight. God, I thank you for speaking to me, to challenging me. Thank you that we don't have to be perfect to become your people, but you make us perfect. You make us holy. God, help us to be separate. Help us to be set aside and set apart for your work, for being servants for your kingdom. God, we love you. We bless your name. Make us, God. Speak to us individually. I pray that your word would come forth and speak to each individual person where they are and call them from that old place to that new place. In Jesus' name, amen.